The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tyres.
Hello and welcome to The Offside Rule, We Get It, brought to you by Continental Tyres. Today, we're tucked away in the eaves of Stamford Bridge. That's right, there's a very good reason why. It's myself, Kate Borsay, and I'm joined by Lindsay Hooper.
Yeah, what a place to be as well, off the back of Chelsea winning the Capital One Cup. Also, what a weekend for them with your team Liverpool as well doing well at the weekend, denting Manchester City's title hopes. It's the place to be, the place in blue.
Thank you for getting that in there. We have pushed aside the streamers to welcome onto the podcast Gigi Salvin. Hello.
Hello, it's lovely to be with you. Thank you for inviting me. And it's a bit quiet here today because all the celebrating took place on Sunday long into the night. And now we're refocusing on the league. So it's a little bit quiet. The streamers have gone away. There's no trophy to be seen, but there's a lot of smiling going on.
Everyone's very happy, chuffed as anything.
And you do realise we are joined by Miss Chelsea because how long have you been here?
15 years. I arrived towards the end of Gianluca Vialli's tenure. I had a couple of months of Gianluca Vialli before it moved on. And yes, I've been through a lot of changes. I've seen a lot of trophies, a lot of highs and lows. But one thing I can say is there is never a dull moment when you're working with Chelsea.
And you front Chelsea TV. You also do loads of stuff for matches. You do lots of preview shows here. So you basically are the face of Chelsea TV, which is quite an achievement, really, after all this time. Give me your favourite manager to work with and why?
They've all been really different because they are so different. And there's ones that you generally just gravitate to a little bit more. And it's hard to pick out a very... I was very close to Claudio Ranieri. He was a great personality. I know on the pitch sometimes the fans got annoyed with the tinkering that took place, but he was a very warm character that his wife had an antique shop in Rome, so I'd like to talk about that. Carlo Ancelotti, I'd bump into at petrol stations and he'd be talking about what he's cooking for dinner. And he loved talking about food. And he wouldn't even mention football. He just wanted to talk about food when he was there. And everyone's... Rafa Benitez came in for a spell and Gus Hiddink was here, and you can go through and through. And Jose Mourinho, I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure to work with someone like Jose Mourinho and see how he's changed from his first spell to his second spell, and that everything that's gone on, something different has happened under each manager. And it's been a real tale of the ups and downs to where we are now.
Yeah, you've certainly seen the highs and lows. I'll just run you through what's coming up on the show today, folks, and we'll carry on talking to Gigi in just a moment's time. I've set the girls a bit of a task today, and admittedly, I've probably struggled with this the most. It was one of those topics that I set and then thought, why did I do this to myself? And also to you guys. It's called Body Double. We know that you're a big tennis aficionado, Gigi, and you can be heard on Five Live as well, often reporting in on many of the Big Four Opens. And I basically set you the task of trying to find another sportsman and a footballer and either similar personality traits or perhaps they look the same. So whatever about them is body double. That's one of the things I've set you. One of the topics is quite handily called blunders in football. We saw a few this weekend, didn't we? So I've asked you to come up with a couple of other recent blunders in the game. And we're also, in celebration of the fact that Chelsea have just won the League Cup, we're going to be talking Jose's best moments. So we're going to be having a bit of a love fest with Jose Mourinho. But that's only right and fitting, seeing as we are, of course, at the home of Chelsea, Stamford Bridge, today.
The female take on football.
Let's move on to our favourite Jose moments then, shall we? Another trophy in the cabinet. Well done to Jose Mourinho and the Chelsea team as well, who performed brilliantly at the weekend.
Can I get some clarification? Are we talking all-time Jose moments or just at Chelsea?
Do you not read my notes? Because it says here...
There's a little theme here, Gigi.
It says here... Gigi, forgive us as we fall out over something again. Time then to recount a few of your best Jose moments at Chelsea. Does this mean that you need to rethink?
No, thankfully I did too, just in case.
I'm going to hand over to you though, Gigi. So a couple of his best moments, they could be for sporting reasons, they could be off the pitch, on the pitch, it's up to you.
It's a tough one because there have been so many highs. We've been lucky there have been so many highs under Jose Mourinho. I think in terms of one of the best moments, I think it's winning the first trophy. It's winning the League Cup. It's starting something that went on just to take Chelsea into this next era of them being the club, and his excitement and his passion and just saying, look, everything's important. I don't devalue anything. I want this to be the case. His press conferences are fabulous. They're always something to write about. In his first time in charge, it was when someone was asking about, do you have money? Can you strengthen the squad? And he started talking about eggs and omelettes. omelettes. And by the time he'd finished going through class one to class three eggs, and it also depends on the supermarket you buy the eggs in as to whether your omelette comes out as you want your omelette to come out, the press didn't have a clue what the question was. They didn't have a clue what they were meant to be writing about. They were so baffled that the headlines next day was all about eggs. And I think my favourite thing, I don't know whether you can call this a moment, but my favourite thing about Jose is how he sucks the pressure and tension away from the players. If it's a big game or something's going on, you find that you're not talking about the players or the match. You're talking about something that Jose's said. Maybe it sometimes gets him into hot water, but he's very good. I mean, I guess he's father, brother, mentor, everything to these guys. The fact that he soaks everything away from the players. And I think if anyone out there has not heard a Jose Mourinho press conference, then look them up and just have a listen, because there's just always something.
Yeah, he loves a knee slide. He loves eggs. He loves big horses, little horses, all sorts of things, doesn't he?
See, I think the true test of a great manager and a great team, for that matter, when it comes to the Premier League, which is one of the most open leagues around the world of football, isn't it? I mean, you could look at Spain and you could look at Italy, but usually there's only a couple of teams in it. But in the Premier League, we know that usually there's four or five teams that could potentially go on and win the title. So the true test for me is a manager who can guide a team to back-to-back titles. I think 2005-2006, the fact that he got the title 2 years running, and one of my favourite moments as well was the throwing the medal into the crowd, the winner's medal. That fan with that medal, I wonder if it's ever appeared on eBay anywhere.
No. That surely has to be locked away somewhere. Mm-hmm. He probably hasn't told anyone. I mean, that's an amazing moment. We saw that at Porto when he left Porto. They'd won the title, they'd won the trophy, and so he just walked off, threw his medal, threw his coat, and that was it. And that was Jose Mourinho signing off. I think if you've got a memento like that, that is definitely not one for eBay.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Do you know, I think we've covered this on the pod before, and I think one of them did appear in quite a famous auction house, Bonhams or something a bit like that. So I think, don't quote me on this, but I think, having looked at it before, I think someone did try to sell it, and I think they sold it for charity, so that's okay. Okay. He's had so many terrific moments, hasn't he? And we've got to think about Jose's tactical nous as well. You know, whether it's playing Zuma at the weekend, who was just amazing, really, when you think about how you just wouldn't imagine playing a player out of position like that would have such success.
Is he the happiest footballer you've ever met? He's so smiley.
Well, with the middle name of Happy, I guess he has to live up to it. Kurt Happy Zuma is his official name, and he gets really annoyed when his teammates bring up the fact that his middle name is Happy. But he's always smiling. His English is absolutely fabulous. And he said to us after the game, "I've never played in midfield before. Yep. Absolutely never. I was completely lost out there at first. But then I started to feel a bit more comfortable, because when that team news came through, before we were saying it's Cahill or Zuma. Then the team sheet came out, they're both there, so oh well, Cahill's one of the deep lying two because he's done that before, and then they start and Zuma's there, and we're all sitting here scratching our heads thinking, is this a stroke of genius or is it going to go wrong? But if you haven't got Matic and you put someone with the physical presence and the tackling and the heading of Zuma, I mean, it turned out to be a stroke of genius. But I don't think we're going to see Zuma back there anytime soon.
I was going to ask you whether he'd decided to change position permanently, or whether Jose had decided it for him.
No, Jose Mourinho said, and he doesn't like to normally put a player in a new position for the first time in something like a final, but Kurt Zuma was ready, but he said he's not midfielder. That is not his future. And I think Kurt will be very happy to know, because he did a great job, but he said afterwards he was exhausted after about 10 minutes because all the running backs and forwards, he's like, hang on, this is very different than playing at centre-half. So no, Kurt Zuma did a fantastic job, but I think in future we will see him as part of the back two.
Well, just thinking about those tactical moments, there was the FA Cup clash in 2007 between Tottenham and Chelsea. It's really funny, as I'm saying this, I can just see Gigi recalling all these moments in her head. You must have a brain like a Chelsea catalogue, right? So if I mention something to you, an incident, you'll be like, yes, I got it. I remember that one, which is just insane. Anyway, the 2007 FA Cup clash between both sides, they were 3-1 down, Chelsea, and it looked incredibly bleak for Mourinho and his team. But he acted decisively. He made a couple of key substitutions then, and it changed the game. And he ended up, I think, fielding a side with only two defenders or something. But it changed the game. And it was one of those games whereby you look back on it and you think, blimey, if you hadn't have taken that punt, a bit like Zuma, if you hadn't have taken that punt and done that, time would be telling a different story. What about other moments from Jose? Lindsay, have you got another one to add to the pile?
I'm bringing in another name, probably two of our favourite people on the podcast, Jose Mourinho and Ibrahimovic.
Oh, we love him.
We love him. We love Zlatan. We love a bit of Zlatan. I'm going to combine the two. Do you remember that moment when Jose was giving I think it was to Chelsea TV, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It was. A post-match interview on Chelsea TV, and in the background, Ibrahimovic comes up behind him. They have an embrace, which is a very feeling hug. You could tell just by looking at it.
What on earth's a feeling hug?
You know, when there's real emotion. Oh, okay. You can tell there's grit behind it. It also, of course, he played for Mourinho under him at Inter Milan. And in his biography, Zlatan actually said he was a manager he was willing to die for. I mean, that's some sort of quote, isn't it?
And another great quote from Zlatan Ibrahimovic's diary. He said, "If Jose Mourinho walks into a room and lights it up, then Pep Guardiola draws the curtains."
Which is great. And I loved it. And I love the fact that they had this little ding-dong. It's all live on camera as well on Chelsea TV, where he says, you know, "Remember me to the family." You can tell that they really have a lot of admiration for each other. That was one of my favourite moments, because you don't get to have a lens onto that sort of conversation most of the time. But equally, at the weekend, I thought the mix between him and Pochettino, I thought that they shared quite a couple of really nice moments, didn't they?
There's a lot of respect between those two. And Pochettino said beforehand, "Look, in Spain, I admired him. He's one of the best managers, if not the best manager in the world." And Jose Mourinho said pre-match, "Look, we're not the best of friends because we don't have time to become the best of friends, but I really admire what he's doing." And what I love with Jose, when he brought the trophy down to put it on the plinth in the middle of the pitch and all the players were there, he threw himself on the floor. He threw his leg up and arm up in the air and he started screaming. And I think it took everybody by surprise, because normally he's very serious all the time. And suddenly he's screaming and lying on the floor. And that just showed, I think, what it meant to him winning that trophy.
I have to add in as well, I do like the thought of Mourinho and Fergie having a glass of red in Fergie's office at United.
Didn't Mourinho say that the red was off, or it wasn't the nicest? Perhaps it was a cork bottle. I don't know. a quick moment from me. When he was in his first stint as Chelsea manager, this is another press conference moment. And as we're sat here at Chelsea, actually, we're actually looking at Mourinho's press conference from today. But one of my favourite moments was, it must have been early on in his day, when he was asked which Premier League manager he wouldn't like to get into a fight with. And he doesn't really answer the question, and the journos are kind of laughing at the question, and the people sat next to him are probably thinking, no, it's okay, you don't have to answer that one. And then someone else pops up to ask him another question. He says, no, hang on, am I allowed to answer that question? And the guy's like, well, yeah, okay. And he goes, well, it's got to be Big Sam. And then he mimics breaking his neck with his hands, and he goes, he would kill me. I just think that's just brilliant honesty, you know. Yeah. If you had Jose Mourinho and Big Sam Allardyce up against each other, Mourinho's probably correct. He probably would just completely kill him.
I think that would be an amazing matchup. But I think you're right. I think Big Sam would intimidate and terrify a fair few people. But I'm not sure. That was his first. I'm not sure if he'd feel the same now. I think he's got a lot more confidence of being in this league. And they're squaring up together tomorrow night. So it's going to be very interesting. But I think it's great when he's got something to say. He'll just say it. When he feels, sometimes he can say nothing and you're like, oh, please say something. But if he's got something to say, out it comes.
He doesn't need to flatter anyone anymore, does he?
Talk about saying nothing. I've been the journo, or one of the journos, at the recent press conferences where he's not been speaking to media. That's been quite hard work. And I go in with my couple of questions thinking, oh no. The really funny one, and you can tell me whether I've antagonised him or not, because I don't know him well enough. But he said that he really wasn't, this one day that I was at a press conference, he said, I'm really not in the mood for stats. And loads of people put a few stats at him. So I found my biggest one. It was the longest stat I could find. And I actually got a wry smile. Would he have liked that? Because I got the impression that he likes you to challenge him a little bit sometimes.
I think he probably would. I think he probably saw the funny side of it. Good. The fact that he'd said, I don't like stats. Everyone had their stats already. And you thought, right, I'm going to give it a go and gave a really long. I think he does. There would have been a little wry smile in that you'd done that.
Okay.
The good news is that Lindsay Hooper is allowed back in a Chelsea press conference. Any more favourite Jose moments from you whilst he's been at Chelsea, Gigi?
It's just such a tough one, isn't it? I think if you put a tweet out asking for a favourite Jose moment, there would be hundreds and thousands, because he has done so much. I think all the trophies that he's won, I think the way he's changed the squad, I think the tactical changes, as you said, he's one of the managers that will make three changes at half time if he feels it's needed. I think the way he handles himself, for me, it's the way he looks after the players. It's the way he protects those players and he brings out the best in those players. We might look at a player and say, there's nothing wrong with him. He's seen something. He will make them even better. And I just think, as a manager, he's just something else.
Follow us on Twitter at Offside Rule Pod, and like our page on Facebook. Simply type in the Offside Rule, we get it. There's only one of us.
Well, our next topic, something you don't say in reference to Jose Mourinho too often, and that's whoops. Well, maybe you do if he's dropped a particular clanger at a press conference, but there were a few classic blunders during this weekend's action. He might claim that he meant to, but Roger Rees definitely sent off the wrong player, didn't he, during their game.
About it. You know what? I looked at this, because when you're looking at blunders over the last couple of weeks. And it's made news everywhere. Dutch TV news.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Poor old Roger. He still never live it down. And there was a great goalkeeper blunder at Blyth Spartans as well. Their keeper came out to try and clear a ball and kicked it into the back of his own net. Always, always comedy for YouTube, that one.
I feel sorry for goalkeepers, actually, because I am going to... That's my example as well, I'm afraid to say. And you might be nodding along if you've got a goalkeeper as well. I feel for them because they are the people that are prone to making more of the blunders because they've not got anyone else backing them up, have they? The keeper can be there to save a defender's graces, but no one's there to save the keeper's.
Did you see Jonathan Pearce at the weekend? He was on...
Sprinkler Watch.
Sprinkler Watch, yes. He was on Match of the Day, just about to go live at the Emirates, and he got done by the sprinklers. And it's like, oh, poor love, surely someone at the club would have thought, Jonathan Pearce, cameras, perhaps I should turn off the sprinklers,
that
but no.
Very nearly happened to me once, pitch side, very nearly. And it was the cameraman that saved me from it. He went, I think we should move. And as we moved, it was just coming around. You could just tell. That was...
And you can kind of hear with sprinklers, can't you? That kind of click, click, click. And yeah. Then they go and you're like, run!
I think the sprinkler people were probably thinking Jonathan Pearce is in position, he's about to go live and switch on the sprinkler.
It was a washout, literally. Uh-huh. So, Lindsay, let's get a whoops moment from you.
Well, I am going to go and give you a couple of examples of goalkeepers, but I'm very quickly going to mention what has been a stalwart defender for many seasons in the Premier League, but Vincent Kompany. What has been going on with Vincent Kompany at Manchester City? Effectively, he was robbed by Coutinho in the Liverpool game, wasn't he? He was to blame. He's had a few blunders of late. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just mentioning it. And I know mentioning it in a podcast where we're talking about Chelsea a lot, title race, might not go down too well with Man City folk. But I'm just giving it a mention. And what I will do is give you a truly embarrassing moment. Both of these come from abroad, by the way. Schalke goalkeeper, so Timon Wellenruther, if I can do that right. He allowed Marco Reus to score the final goal in Dortmund's 3-0 home win over the weekend. And when I say he allowed him, he more than allowed him. He basically gifted him the goal. He goes to kick the ball away. Reus went to pressure him. He tries a very daring dribble, the keeper, in a moment where you don't want to try to dribble the ball. It results in the Dortmund striker getting his 7th goal in 13 league appearances this season. So another one for the Reus tally.
Daring dribble and goalkeeper do not go together, do they?
No. One other one coming from out of Ajax, this one. It was a late own goal, gave Ajax a flattering 2-1 win. This was on Sunday, just gone after we've recorded this podcast that weekend. And they're called the Go-Ahead Eagles, Deventer. Do you know? I mean, you know what? I absolutely was looking at that team name going, right, OK. The Deventer goalkeeper, Mickey van der Hart, he missed a back pass shortly before the final whistle. So it was already nearly over. The countdown was on for that referee blowing. But no, van der Hart has a very much a hand-in-mouth moment. An Ajax player that's on loan to the Eagles, he blamed an unpredictable bounce, as many goalkeepers do.
Good luck searching on that player's name, by the way. Who is it, your first one?
Wellenruther.
Yes. Gigi, over to you.
Well, actually, Lindsay took the one I was going to use, the goalkeeper for Go Ahead Eagles, because the thing that stood out for me, I mean, it was a calamitous air kick. It was the 87th minute of the game. It gave them into Ajax. But it was the fact that this poor 20-year-old keeper, because he was on loan from Ajax and he gave Ajax the win, all the Go-Ahead Eagles fans turned on him, thinking that maybe there was something in it and he'd done it on purpose because he was on loan to them from them. But if you looked at the pitch and have a look on YouTube, it was so bobbled. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was the slowest back pass I've ever seen. My grandmother could have got to it, scooped it up, moved it and put it back again. I mean, there really was no excuse in that sense. But it was quite bobbly, if I'm going to give him a little bit of an excuse. The air kick was ridiculous. Ajax get the win and this poor 20-year-old guy is thinking, you've got to be kidding me, and I'm on loan from that team and they've got the win. And so yes, the Go-Ahead Eagles have now become famous for probably a reason they didn't want to.
Why have the Go-Ahead Eagles passed me by as a team?
Are they sponsored by Go-Ahead Bars or something?
Well, they're not exactly a sort of a groundbreaking side that you may have heard of unless you're very up on your Eredivisie football.
Yeah, okay. I've got another mishap for you. It's a bit of a long-winded story, but do bear with it. I asked you for recent mishaps, okay? Now, this happened some time ago, but it was only revealed recently.
What? If this was me, Gigi, I would be getting it in the neck right now. What? It was a recent... It said the word recent.
Yes. This was revealed recently. And it's a lovely, funny story by Owen Coyle, who was on Sky Sports Fantasy Football Show. And they said to him, you've got to tell us about the coffee moment. And I was like, okay, ears prick up, because I love a story, me. So back in the day, I think he actually ended up being player manager of St Johnstone. But when he went to go and interview for the club, The chairman phoned him up. He'd been working with another club at the time, still playing. And the chairman phoned him up and said, well, could we meet? I want to discuss with you, you know, the possibility of coming to work with us. And so he's like, OK, fine. And he was up in his holiday home at the time. So he said to the St Johnston chairman, well, you know, rather than travel some distance, why don't you just come and see me in my holiday home? And his wife was there and his kids were there. Chairman's due. So he said to the wife and kids, would you mind leaving the building, please? Because I'd like to have a nice discussion about a possible job. And I'd quite like to concentrate. I want us to have some peace. And it was bucketing with rain outside. And his wife said, well, you know, OK, fair enough. If you want to have that, you know, dedicated, because it was effectively a job interview. If you want to have that time with him, fine. But just don't be too long. So she heads out in the rain with all the kids. Chairman comes over. He gets offered a cup of tea by Owen Coyle, or coffee. And he chooses coffee, which throws Owen Coyle because he's like, well, I don't really drink coffee. I think we've got some here somewhere. Makes a tea and a coffee, sits down, have a great chat. Everything's very encouraging. And the upshot of that chat was that he got the job as manager. His wife comes home, absolutely drenched with all the kids, rain streaming down her face. And she said, well, I hope it was worth it. And he said, well, yeah, it was. It was a really good meeting, actually. And I think things look really hopeful there. He said, but I did get thrown because I couldn't find the coffee. He said, I had this real panic moment. I couldn't find the coffee. He said, I made myself a cup of tea, but I just couldn't. But luckily, I found it. So I found it and I got it. And that was the only kind of bad point of the whole interview. And his wife said, but we don't have any coffee, Owen. And he's like, well, we do. I use this. He promptly took out a jar of Bisto gravy. Not only had he made the chairman a cup of Bisto gravy, the chairman had drunk it and not said anything at all. So the chairman of St Johnston at the time, Jeff Brown, drank a whole cup of Bisto and never told Owen Coyle that he'd made a complete faux pas.
You know what? When I was at Sixth Form College, a girl came in, rushed in, completely unfootball related, but she'd got builders at her house and she'd gone home during one of our lunch breaks to go and see them. And her mum must have issued her orders, make sure you make them a cup of tea or coffee. So she said to them, oh, would you like a cup of tea or coffee? And the builders went, oh, we'll have coffee, please, black. And she went, I'm really sorry, we've only got brown.
Oh, dear.
I heard a story this morning about on radio, it was a girl's on working experience when she was 14 and said, would you like a cup of coffee? He said, yes, I'll have white coffee. She went and had a look, came back, said, we haven't got white coffee, we've only got brown.
Love those coffee stories. Yeah. All right, next up, let's hear from our Sean Thorne with Twitter Topic of the Week.
Twitter Topic of the Week.
So Jose Mourinho said that winning the League Cup was like being a kid all over again. So in Twitter Topic of the Week this week, we've been asking you about the footballing memories that have transported you back to your youth. Now, Stefan Gonthier says seeing a picture of Robert Pires in his FC Metz colours takes him back to his childhood. Metz was his local team as a kid and he fell in love with football when he was watching them in 98, where Pires was a rising star. And he was then the reason when Stefan moved to the UK to support Arsenal following his decision to sign for him. Kelly Summers has gone for when Troy Deeney scored the goal for Watford to win the playoff semi-final versus Leicester a couple of seasons ago. She says it was the best feeling ever. I remember going mad for that when that goal went in. I was just sat in a little studio in Radio Bristol looking after some cricket and I was going absolutely pots. I can't imagine what it'd be like actually being a Watford fan for that. It would have been awesome. Jake Edwards reckons that Mourinho was probably the sort of kid who'd spend a lot of time on the naughty step as a youth. And Chris Dixon has gone for when him and his dad went to the 2011 Champions League final. He says it was an awful result because United were outclassed, but the atmosphere was incredible and he got the chance to witness Pep Guardiola's Barcelona. Cheers to everyone who got in touch for Twitter Topic of the Week this week. I've been Sean Thorne and I will hand you back to the girls.
Right, it's time to head into Mission Impossible. Well, that's how I feel anyway, having set the topic body double. You're a big tennis aficionado, as we know, Gigi, and you report on much tennis for Five Live. And it did occur to me that, you know, there must be similarities with personalities as well as looks and maybe other things as well, hobbies, who knows. So I'd like some examples of body doubles, not just body, but also mind doubles as well, perhaps. Give me a couple. And one of the pair, of course, must be a footballer. And we're going to steer clear from the Luis Suarez, Tom Daley comparisons.
I'm definitely steering clear of those because I've gone down a serious route.
Oh, well, okay. All right.
I've gone for actual sporting doubles.
Okay.
But I'll shine a bit of light on that in a second. Or maybe I should go first because then we can end on a laugh. Yeah?
What she's basically saying, Gigi, is that whatever you've got to be funny. So, Lindsay.
Okay. Sporting doubles.
Joe Hart. Do you know that Joe Hart once was a promising young cricketer? He's from Shrewsbury and he played for Shrewsbury County Cricket Club and was in their first team for quite a long time, 2003 to 2005, decided to go and pursue a career in football, and we all know what happened after that. He got the Head and Shoulders advert. Also, I've got another Zlatan moment. Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I am a bit in love, aren't I, really? It's the ego of him. I just can't get over it. He's got a black belt in Taekwondo. Of course he has. He got it when he was just 17 years old. Of course he did. And he practiced Taekwondo in Italy. He got an honorary black belt from the Italian national Taekwondo team in 2010. Of course he did. Fast players, my final one. And I can add a little bit more to this one from this season from an interview I did. We talk about fast footballers, and immediately, who would you say?
Theo Walcott.
Yeah. That's who I'm talking about. Well, Theo Walcott apparently could have become a sprinter if he wanted to. If he wanted to pursue a career in athletics, it was all on the table, or certainly the times were, for him to do so. Do you know that Arsene Wenger has mentioned that Walcott could have even been a match, he said, for Usain Bolt? Now, I don't know whether that might be stretching it a little bit, but apparently he can run the 100 metres in 10.3 seconds.
And did you know that Adam Jamili, the 100 metre sprinter, used to be Chelsea youth player before he decided he had to choose between athletics and football? And he went athletics.
And he went the other way. A little bit to add to that, to the 10.3 seconds that Theo Walcott can run, is I wonder how fast Hector Bellerin can run. Because do you know, at some recent tests within the club, Hector Bellerin beat Theo Walcott. Now, in the interview that I did with Bellerin, he said, actually, I think Theo is much quicker than me. But it was just this one test. Mm. But apparently he came out the quickest and Theo didn't like it.
Oh, Tetchy Theo of higher speeds, eh? Goodness gracious me. I'll chip in with a quick one. And it just sort of occurred to me, Wilfred Zaha buzzes around, doesn't do much. Some say he's a bit pointless. Just like a Formula One driver, perhaps. Sorry to diss all the Formula One fans out there.
Are you saying that Formula One is pointless?
Well, some people say it is. And I just thought, who else whizzes around a track again and again? Okay, one of them wins, but the rest of them don't really achieve very much. Wilfred Zaha and a Formula One driver. Aww. That was my classic. You can tell I was struggling, can't you? Gigi, please tell me you've done better.
I don't even know if this is right or I did the right thing. It was really hard, but I used the tennis angle. So I tried to find two people similar. They don't look alike, so please don't think I'm gone crazy. But I went Roger Federer and Lionel Messi because they're both an absolute pleasure to watch. If you have a son that you want to play football, you want them to be like Leo Messi. If you have a son that you want to play tennis, you want them to be like Roger Federer. They're both fairly subdued off court. You don't hear too much about them in the tabloids. They've got global fan bases. They do a lot for their sport and they're just legends within it. My other one, slightly a little bit more left field because I thought it was a bit dull, was Ernest Gulbis and Ravel Morrison. Now, Ravel Morrison, 22, he's just been released by West Ham. He started at Manchester United, so much promise. Not good off the field, fell in with a bad crowd. Fergie lost patience with him. Sam Allardyce has now lost patience with him, but he's got blistering pace, a great eye for the game, and to do something special. Gulbis, a little bit older at 26. He's 15 at the World. He's Latvian. His background's slightly different. He's got a very wealthy family, but he was a real playboy. So all he was doing was, well, the wrong thing off the court. He'd say very controversial things in press conferences like, would I want my sisters to be tennis players? No, they need to get married, cook, and have babies. But he's so, so talented. On his day, he can be anyone. The difference being, and maybe this will click with Ravel Morrison, who's been linked with Lazio in the summer, is that about a year ago, Gulbis said, you know what? I've done the partying. I'm going to focus on tennis and I'm going to see what I can do. So I kind of put those two together.
A very clever take on it. Thank you, Gigi. You've beaten the pants off us. If we had buzzers, you'd get all the points.
If this was fighting talk, you'd get the dings.
Yay. Yeah.
Check out exclusive football content daily on offsiderulepodcast.com.
All right, I think we'll wrap things up there, ladies. Gigi, it's been lovely to have you on the podcast and good luck to Chelsea for the rest of the season. Of course, you'll be dining out on this trophy for a few weeks to come, I hope, as well, and enjoying the success.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to sit around and talk football. And yes, there's still another couple of trophies to win, so we'll just have to see how that goes. But it is always nice to get one in the bag.
It certainly is. Lindsay, thank you to you. Oh, don't forget, by the way, guys, after this podcast comes out next week, we're going to be doing an International Women's Day special. We're going to be at the Women in Football event at Wembley. Lindsay, tell us more.
Well, I decided, because Kate rolls her eyes when I have these little moments. I did tell you over WhatsApp, didn't I? I said, I had an idea. And she goes, uh-oh. We're yet to do a guest hot seat, Gigi. So we've had you for the entire time for this podcast. But what I would like to do for International Women's Day is get a few women in football on. Hayley's still on her holiday. So what we're going to do is fill each topic with a different lady from football who has a really good job to tell us a little bit more about it. So that's going to be next week. You should learn and hopefully get a lot from it. Make sure you download next week's as well as all the others, and obviously listen to the whole back catalogue whilst you're there. if you've got about 10,000 hours spare.
Someone may have some very long journeys to do. Who knows? You can listen to us via Audioboom, iTunes. You can check out our Twitter and do follow us as well at Offside Rule Pod. Check in with the Facebook page as well, The Offside Rule, and pop over to the website and digest all the delicious content that's there. Offside Rule podcast.com. Thanks to Gigi, thanks to Lindsay, and we'll see you soon. Yes!
Oh, yes! The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.